Welcome to All Universe Top 40. My name is Marie McMullen.
And my name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand.
On today's installment, we will hear a soundtrack song recorded by a solo rock act who was once the lead vocalist of a legendary British group that sometimes sounded like a glam band and sometimes sounded like a jam band.
For our little slice of heaven, we will present a vintage recording on the Verve label by the musician known to a number of music fans as the greatest jazz pianist of all time. This particular selection contains the type of fluid motion in both hands that confirmed this legend's mastery of the piano.
Later, we examine a funky 90s cover of a Led Zeppelin song by an artist on A&M Records that, for over a decade, played her versions of Bach and Beethoven on my own grandmother's piano.
Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate the stock Aitken Waterman production that has ultimately displayed the greatest staying power among the sound recordings produced by that British assembly line.
But first, just as we do each week, we begin with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak, and then heaven knows what happened to them.
What kind of number 40 do we have today?
Well, we get the message started with the first artist to have three consecutive double albums reach number one on the Billboard album chart.
At one point, this bad girl had 12 top 10 hits in 6 years, 10 of which were top fives, more than any other act during the stretch between 1976 and 1982.
A winner of 5 Grammy Awards, this hot stuff vocalist sold over 100 million records worldwide, making her one of the best-selling recording artists of all time.
Spending a week at number 40 on her way up to a peak of number 7 in the United States and number 3 in England, that was Donna Summer. And This Time I Know It's For Real, her one and only hit on Atlantic Records, and her only top 10 produced by the amazing British production team of Stock, Aitken, and Waterman.
All Universe Top 40. 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have a solo track by Ian Hunter, who is best known as the lead singer of the British rock act Mott the Hoople. After revisiting some of their singles and album tracks, Mott the Hoople could be sloppy like a jam band, but their presentation was more like a glam band. Their biggest hit was All the Young Dudes, a glam anthem written and produced for them by David Bowie that we will likely play in the future.
After another hit with the song All the Way from Memphis, Mott the Hoople toured in 1973 with an unknown Aerosmith as their opener and continued into 1974 with a brand new band called Queen warming up. But the group could not hold it together. Lead vocalist Ian Hunter left, first to record as a duo with Bowie sidekick Mick Ronson, and then as a solo act.
By 1979, Ian Hunter had written a book called Diary of a Rock and Roll Star and had released several solo albums, first for Columbia and then for Chrysalis. Once again working with Mick Ronson, Ian was selected by the producers of the movie Up the Academy to provide a rebellious, up-tempo, and updated version of the Mott the Hoople glam sound.
Right on cue, they submitted We Gotta Get Out of Here, which became one of the best-loved soundtrack songs from the movie and received FM airplay right alongside Midnight Rendezvous by The Babies. From the Up the Academy soundtrack album released on Capitol Records, here is Ian Hunter, produced by the late, great Mick Ronson.
It's such a small town rodeo, such famous people here with nowhere to go. Well, it don't get to me, I think it's the pits. I got no friends I want to split.
Yes.
The Daily Paper seeking desperate fate. The television cameras joining the chat. Hey, it's much fun interviewing Alan McKay. I got the microphone away.
Should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, that was Ian Hunter and We Gotta Get Out of Here. While the live version of that song featured Martin Briley on lead guitar, the same Martin Briley that we played a few weeks ago with his hit The Salt in My Tears, there were no credits on this studio version, so we don't know if that was Briley, Mick Ronson, or Ian Hunter himself grinding out that cool riff.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have the 1985 commercial breakthrough for a new wave dance act that originated in Liverpool, led by former Nightmares in Wax vocalist Pete Burns. After a short-lived partnership with Julian Cope and a promising EP with Nightmares in Wax, Pete teamed up with bassist Mike Percy, drummer Steve Coy, and keyboardist Tim Lever to form the Beat Heavy Dead or Alive. They distributed 12-inch singles to clubs all over England, which contained two of their originals, along with their goth cover of the KC and the Sunshine Band hit, That's the Way I Like It. That cover attracted the attention of Epic Records, coincidentally KC's label following his departure from TK. After their Epic debut, Pete was intrigued by a new three-person production team and wanted to work with them. That production team took the framework of an original Dead or Alive composition and, adding their own synthetic percussion and boosted keyboard bass, engineered the perfect single for Pete and his bandmates, You Spin Me Round Like a Record. Peaked at number 11 in the United States and became the first number one single that the now legendary production team of Stock, Aitken, and Waterman ever achieved on the British charts. That was Dead or Alive, the synthetic act that later worked with producers Tim Wiedner and Louis Martinet.
Number 10.
At number 10, we have another act that, like the group we heard at number 11, worked with Louis Martinet. In fact, he co-produced a ska single in Miami with Lewis, with Lewis's remixed version of that single designated for the compilation album Back in Time, a release that sent its proceeds to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Far from the world of ska for the selection that is our number 10 today, that very same underground singer-songwriter was joined in the studio by legendary Big Star producer Jim Dickinson. On this lazy track, Dickinson laid down a tasteful electric piano, which perfectly complemented the atmospheric slide guitar played by the good friend of everyone in the studio that day, the ever-present Jack Holder.
Here I sit alone and everything's cold and gray. You have finally flown, you've taken it all. Summer rain to feel. There's no things cold and gray. You have finally flown.
Getting some assistance from Good Question producer Don Smith on bass, Robert Hall from Zyder Z on drums, Jack Holder on slide guitar, and the legendary Jim Dickinson on the Wurlitzer electric piano, that was my dad, John McMullen, singing and playing acoustic guitar on a track he cut in Memphis, Here I Sit Alone.
Number nine.
Well, thanks for bringing out that oldie, Marie. Now, at number nine, we have a universally loved single that was released on the ATCO label in the United States and on Reaction Records in England. The familiar riff to the song itself came about when the band Cream attended a Jimi Hendrix concert in London, which in turn gave direct inspiration to Jack Bruce. According to Cream guitarist Eric Clapton, quote, "Hendrix played this gig that was blinding. I didn't think Jack had really taken him in before, and when he did see it that night, after the gig, he went home and came up with the riff. It was strictly a dedication to Jimmy, and then we wrote the song on top of it," close quote.
It's getting near dawn, when lights close their tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love. Surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon. I'll be with you when the stars start falling. I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going in the sun of your love. I'm with you, my love, the light shining through on you.
Yes, I'm with you, my love. It's the morning, just we two.
I'll stay with you, darling.
I've been waiting so long.
Spending a week at number 9 on its way up to a peak of number 5 in Billboard, number 6 in Cashbox, and number 3 in Canada. That was the supergroup Cream, consisting of Jack Bruce, Ginger Baker, and Eric Clapton, with Sunshine of Your Love, their hit on Atco Records that was inspired by a Jimi Hendrix concert and, over time, became one of the best-selling singles in the history of the Atlantic group of record labels.
Number 8. Now we are up to a selection that is modern and great, and being so new, it ought to reach number 8, maybe even higher than that. It is an album track by an underground band we are sure you have never heard of before. Based out of the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, Post Sex Nachos, yes, you heard that right, Post Sex Nachos, is a band as unique as their name would suggest. In their own words from their Spotify bio page, quote, "Their resources are limited, but their valor is strong," end quote. That didn't stop this four-piece group of young college students from writing original songs, performing at local bars and clubs, and getting an EP and full-length album produced by North Village Recording, based out of St. Louis and Columbia, Missouri.
It's in the back, I swear it's true. I told myself that all I needed was you. I never looked the other way. Look at the fucking mess we made. Everyone knew except for me. I got warned by your family. I made the call, you took the plea. Only happy in between the sheets. And I don't mind at all if you lie to me. Cause the sky. I fell in love, it felt evergreen. It's always worse behind the screen. Never thought you could be so mean. Guess that I had never heard. But it's cool, lesson learned. Next time I'll be more prepared to give myself and to get hurt. And I I was 17. I fell in love, it felt evergreen. It's always worse behind the screen. Never thought that you could be so mean.
With a track that was modern and great and ought to reach number 8, that was Post Sex Nachos with In the Bag.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is an instrumental by a true legend, a master that many diehard jazz fans call the greatest jazz pianist of all time. Oscar Emmanuel Peterson was born on August 15, 1925, in Montreal, Canada, to parents that were immigrants from the West Indies. The son of a railroad porter, Oscar grew up in a predominantly black area of Montreal, where free-form music thrived. Like his father, he was a natural on the trumpet from a young age, but when he got sick with tuberculosis as a 7-year-old, he had to quit playing the trumpet and concentrate on piano. His sister Daisy gave him piano lessons, teaching him about the classics and giving him drills to practice. Oscar was very diligent, playing his classical pieces and constantly working on scales. By the age of 14, Oscar won the Canadian Broadcasting Company's National Music Competition, which led him to become a professional and to quit high school. After playing with Maynard Ferguson, Oscar had his own radio show as a teen, and in his early 20s, signed a deal with Victor Records. Over the next 30 or so years, Oscar recorded constantly and played numerous concerts. Sometimes he played alone, sometimes in a duo, and often with his trio. In 1950, he was awarded the honor of Pianist of the Year by Downbeat magazine and won that same award for the next 12 consecutive years. His recording career included a catalog of over 200 songs, winning 8 Grammy Awards in the process. He received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the BBC and honorary degrees from 14 separate universities. Oscar suffered a stroke, which hindered the use of his left hand. While he did eventually regain much of the use of that hand, he died of kidney failure in 2007 at his home in Mississauga, Ontario. The Canadian Embassy in Tokyo, Japan, named its theater after him, and there is an Oscar Peterson Hall in the University of Toronto system. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to the guy that Duke Ellington called the Maharaja of the keyboard, Oscar Peterson. Thank you.
With our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, that was the Oscar Peterson Trio and their jazz version of the pop standard, When I Fall in Love. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all over the world.
Richard from Canada heard our 9.455 megahertz broadcast on WRMI on his JRC NRD535 receiver, along with an antenna system made up of, as he calls them, random long wires in the trees. He has been a shortwave hobbyist since 1982, and he says, "Welcome to the WRMI family." He reports 45443 with slight noise. Well, Richard, we are happy that you have found our show, and we hope that your custom antenna system can pull in one of our future broadcasts. We send our highest regards and wish health and safety to all of our neighbors to the north.
Jeff from Amsterdam sent us a message on Mixcloud to let us know that he liked the air check of last week's show that we posted on the Alt Universe Top 40 Mixcloud page. He says he loves to make set mixes and has made his own dumb mix of his favorite alt dance mixes. Well, Jeff, we wish you all the best luck in your future DJ endeavors, and we are thrilled that you like our show, and that you like that late-night radio feel of an actual air check. Cheers, and stay safe in Amsterdam.
Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40,
number 6.
For the first season of That 70s Show, the producers of the series used as the opening theme former Graveyard Train vocalist Todd Criven's cover version of Big Stars in the Street, the ruckus riff rocker that originally appeared on the Ardent release Big Stars No. 1 record. While Todd did a fine job on that song, no American rock act could bridge the gap between factual 70s Memphis and fictional 70s Wisconsin better than Cheap Trick. In fact, when Cheap Trick took over the duties in Season 2, they were given the green light to make the song their own, with a nod to Surrender built into the edit that was used on the television. If the world no longer had the late Chris Bell to deliver this catchy rock ear candy, then Robin Zander might as well take the microphone.
with our bonus hit at number 6. That was last week's number 1 band, Cheap Trick, and In the Street, written by Alex Chilton and Chris Bell, and originally included on the Big Star debut album, about which Billboard magazine stated, quote, "Every cut could be a single," close quote.
Number 5.
My name is Marie McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Well, we have just heard a selection that was originally recorded by Big Star. And back at number 10, we heard an album track by my dad that featured Memphis legend Jim Dickinson on electric piano. Now, at number 5, we have a Big Star track produced by Jim Dickinson. This haunting piece of music from Big Star's third featured an Alex Chilton vocal that sounded as if it were being delivered from the midst of a nervous breakdown. To drive the theme home, Dickinson manned the mellotron himself and tapped friend and musical genius Carl Marsh to play a bassoon.
Both Rolling Stone and AllMusic gave Big Star's third their highest ratings possible, with rock critic David Keenan calling it one of the best albums ever. The New Musical Express ranked Big Star's third as their greatest heartbreak album of all time, while AllMusic raved that it was, quote, a shambling wreck of an album among the most harrowing experiences in pop music. Impassioned, erratic, the slow sinking sound of a band falling apart, close quote. At number 5, that was the Alex Chilton original Blue Moon, performed by Big Star, getting some help from Carl Marsh on bassoon and producer Jim Dickinson on mellotron.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that charted significantly better in England than in the United States. Today, however, we have a single that did just opposite. On the pop charts, it performed 49 notches better in the US than it did in the UK. And in New Zealand, it reached 5 slots higher than its American peak.
When Peter Brown was growing up in a Chicago suburb, he received music lessons from his mother, who was artistic and encouraged his creativity. His father was an electronic engineer, giving his young musical son advice on how to set up a technologically advanced system of tape recorders.
After he became comfortable with the machines, Peter made multi-track recordings that rivaled the sound of the big studios of the day. One day, one of his creations found its way into the hands of Henry Stone, the boss at soul and disco powerhouse TK Records in Miami. Henry signed Peter and immediately pressed a track called "Do You Want to Get Funky with Me" onto a new format, a 12-inch single.
After DJs all over the country began spinning that supersized single, it became the first gold 12-inch single in recorded history. For the next single, Peter teamed up with the late, great Betty Wright, who had started TK's chart run a few years earlier with her soul hit, Clean Up Woman.
With Betty taking the counter melody, Peter crafted this perfect timepiece for the disco era, a single that reached number 11 in Record World, number 8 in Cashbox, number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 4 on the Billboard Disco Chart, number 3 in New Zealand, and number 57 in England. Number 4 with Dance With Me, a single that charted far better in the United States than it did in England, that was Peter Brown, who, several years later, would write Madonna's signature song from her days at Sire Records, Material Girl.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Bellingham, Washington, home of that melodic alternative rock act, the Posies. Back in 1986, John Auer and Ken Stringfellow started writing songs together. As they worked on their craft, they began recording demos of those songs, adding Mike Musburger and Rick Roberts to round out a 4-man lineup. Duplications of their cassettes made the rounds at the University of Washington Washington, and their club gigs began to attract large crowds. The David Geffen Company noticed and signed them. They hit number 17 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart with a track from their debut album. When their follow-up album was released, its first single shot straight up to number 4 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart, thanks to support from MTV and airplay on alternative stations such as 105.7 The Point in St. Louis. With our three from way downtown, that was Dream All Day by the Posies, a group whose membership dwindled back down to 2 just a couple of years after this track was released. In what turned out to be a perfect match, John Auer and Ken Stringfellow were later invited to join Alex Chilton and Jody Stevens to resurrect that legendary band we heard back at number 5, Big Star.
Universe Top 40!
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that should have hit number 1. Today we have a spunky recording from the early 90s that really impressed some big name rock critics. The song was originally released by Led Zeppelin in 1973 and charted at number 20 in Billboard, number 16 in Cashbox, and number 15 in Record World. Over time, the song became an album rock classic on FM radio, possibly because of its reggae beat being played by one of the all-time heavyweight rock bands. But Led Zeppelin's original isn't the only version of this particular song to receive airplay. In an article he wrote about the music of Led Zeppelin, rock writer Skip Anderson pointed out that a certain female artist's Led Zeppelin cover was simply not to be missed. He went on to state, quote, "Utilizing the great Sheryl Crow vocal phrasing, Sheryl did exactly what it takes to perform a great Led Zeppelin cover version. She made it her own while still paying respect to the original. Don't miss this one," end quote.
Bye.
with a song produced by Bill Bottrell that should have hit number one. That was the A&M recording artist who, for about a dozen years, took piano lessons from my grandmother, Arda McMullen, and for a time lived in the Kappa Alpha Theta house at Mizzou, where I live now. And the name of the song? Jamaica.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is the most successful single to emerge from that stock Aitken and Waterman assembly line that churned out so many big hits during the period when synthesizers dominated the charts. Back at number 40 today, we heard Donna Summer's very last top 10 record, crafted by these amazing producers.
Then at number 11, we heard the very first British number one produced by Stott, Aitken and Waterman, You Spin Me by Dead or Alive. While that team produced those two acts and many others, their biggest hit came from a shy small town singer who started out at the Stott, Aitken & Waterman offices as a T-boy and ended up selling 40 million records.
When Pete Waterman brought in the young kid he heard singing in a small town band called FBI, nobody at the production company's offices had any idea that he was about to record a single that would hit number one in 25 countries. They just kept working on layering the synthesizers that were backing him and sequencing the electronic drum patterns in the catchy originals that were assigned to his album.
Not every song on his amazing debut album was a Stock, Aitken & Waterman original, though. He did a cover of that standard we heard the Oscar Peterson Trio play back at number 7, When I Fall in Love. And while that one made it to number 2 on the British charts, its success paled in comparison to this all-time dance pop classic. Here is one of England's favorite redheads, the guy who made Rickrolling popular to a full generation after his chart domination, Rick Astley, and Never Gonna Give You Up.
Perfection track at number one. That was Rick Astley and the 1988 Brit Award winner for Single of the Year, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never gonna give you up.
that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check on our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email address, those are all lowercase, and 40 is the number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40!